You got to be kidding me. And you know, as it is, Tennessee makes it a game. 11:34 left in the game. Even down 27 at halftime. Tennessee, 11:34 left in the game, down 54-39. They come out, and they go on to open the half, a 13-1 run, or a 13-0 run after LSU scores the first point, however you want to look at it. Live in the Raymier studio, we lost our power during the game. And so we're going to see what we can do today and try to get as many folks on. Smartway, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee basketball overtime. Tennessee a loser today to LSU. And I give Keith Hatfield a lot of credit yesterday on his program, Show Cause. Keith said, you know, he said, I'll leave it up to Tony and Bino to tell you what you want to hear. He said, I'm going to tell you right now the matchups in that game do not favor Tennessee. It will take a miracle for the Vols to win the game, and he was exactly right. And I know people are saying, but Tony, these Saturday games, we keep getting beaten these Saturday games. Hey, listen, that's true. And every matchup has been bad during these Saturday games, in this stretch of games. Mississippi State, that wasn't a Saturday game. Alabama, that was a Saturday game. Really bad matchup. A&M, really bad matchup. Today, really bad matchup. And I'm going to say it again. That was the best first half of basketball I've seen an opponent play in Thompson Bowling Arena since, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it. I don't think you have either, to be honest with you. I don't know that we've seen anything like that. I'll bring Hatfield in here, who is our, who is the resident historian here of your Smartway Dalton Behring and Hydraulic Tennessee basketball overtime. LSU today, continuing the trend, Keith, as I welcome you in, shot 53%, 9 of 19 from three-point range. The trend continues. Hatfield, I'd like your first thoughts, and then we'll get to some phone calls here.
Well, Tony, I mean, this was a matchup that each team playing to equal percentage of their capabilities, LSU was going to win. I mean, if both teams played 75% of what they are, LSU is going to win that game. And in the first half, LSU bumped up against playing almost perfect, mm-hmm. and Tennessee wasn't very good. So, I mean, the score at halftime was indicative of what you expect in that situation. I mean, they've got, I don't know, 7 blocked shots, I think, at halftime. They're completely dominating the boards because and that's with Jarrell Martin not playing most of the first half. It could have been, as bad as it was in the first half, it could have been far worse.
Jarrell Martin, I believe ends up fouling out of the game, doesn't he? And has a whimper of a game, doesn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't really accomplish anything. And the one thing you saw tonight, and Josh ends up having some decent numbers across the board, mm-hmm. what you saw is Tim Quarterman's probably the guy best equipped in this league to guard him, and that slows our offense down to a crawl because everything has to go through Josh, and when it doesn't, we have trouble getting anything done, and that was another big part of the first half. I mean, LSU, when Ron Higgins and I were talking yesterday, LSU's got 3 pros. Tim Quarterman will play in the NBA. Tim Quarterman's a lot like Josh Richardson. They've got 3 fantastic players. And when Hornsby hits some shots and they manage to keep Josh Gray out of there and not have, I mean, you saw what happens when he comes in the game. They throw the ball all over the place. And had Johnny Jones played him more minutes tonight, Tennessee probably gets all the way back into the game.
Old Johnny Jones, man, you could tell when they go in at halftime and he spends some time with them and they come out in that second half and they look like they're lost. They were in a little bit of a danger zone there, Keith, with 11 minutes left. Tennessee got that lead down to, with 11:34 left, the Vols got it to 54-39, which one could say to me, well, Tony, that's ridiculous that you're talking about that. Hey, they shave 12 points off that lead. If they, to that point, outplay them by 4 to the next TV timeout, you got that thing 8 or 9 in your building with 8 minutes left, and you got an LSU team that you know is the same team that lost to Missouri. They're the same team that lost to Auburn. They're the same team that lost to, help me out here, Hatfield. They've had some embarrassing, in Mississippi State, they've had some embarrassing losses. How? When you watch them play the way they played in that first half, and Keith, they had a couple sequences on offense that were picture perfect. I'm talking about a couple of sequences offensively, Keith, that if you would have drawn them up, you could use those as teaching highlights. They were so perfect.
I think they figured it out. Now that they've gotten Josh Gray out of their way, essentially, and going to Quarterman at the point, their only problem now is depth. You look at that first five. I'll take that first five against most anybody, not named Kentucky, Duke, maybe Wisconsin and Arizona. I'll take that first five against just about anybody else.
They're a scary matchup. They are, they're a team you're going to look at in the NCAA tourney early on. Tennessee played their way from the play-in game into that type of position last year. And I think this LSU team, down the stretch here will go up and down. So I think they're going to be somewhere around that neighborhood. They're going to sneak in the back end of that thing before it's all said and done. Although today a big win on the road really helps them. Let's go to the phones at 865-200-5402. We are your Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee basketball overtime. And I want to say a special word of thanks to my friends at Smart Way. Yesterday they had us out there, collected a lot of money in the first 2 days of the drive, which we'll go on through Monday, for Fish Hospitality Pantry. We fed over 600 families yesterday, the first day and a half alone in the drive. So thank you so much for the response. All you've got to do is go to Smartway's location, the 8,000 block of Kingston Pike. Stop in there, sign the sheet. Just sign the sheet. You don't have to buy anything. And you will feed a family. And we'll do it in your name. That's it. Let's go to the phones. We call it our Love Our Community for Valentine's Day. Tennessee got a big box of coal today for Valentine's Day. And before we go to the phones, Keith, I know people want to blame Donnie Tindall. Everybody needs somebody to blame. I don't blame anybody after a game like this. I mean, the matchups aren't in your favor. Your opponent executes. They play as well as they possibly can. I don't think it's one of those deals where we didn't have any energy in the first half. I just think they beat the living hell out of us, Keith.
Well, I mean, what the hell are they blaming Donnie Tindall for? Not having two NBA caliber post players?
In year one.
Yeah, I don't see anything. That's just a terrible matchup. Well, if people didn't enjoy today, I would advise them to go find something else to do Tuesday night.
Back to our phones we go. Let's get our first call in here. Hello and welcome on your Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee basketball overtime. Good evening and welcome.
Hatfield, what are you suggesting, Kmart?
I mean, I'm just saying that if people are upset that Tennessee wasn't able to compete on the boards and down low against Jarrell Martin and Jordan Mickey, there's no real reason for them to tune it in Tuesday night. They're going to do nothing but jack their blood pressure up.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, man. I knew after the first six minutes of that game, we had no chance.
No, and you hate to say that. You walk off the court the other night after that first TV timeout, you watch today's game and you go, God, we're dead. You got no chance. When they play like that, here's my question for anybody listening. And an LSU fan got on me today on Twitter because I said, how in the world is this LSU team on the bubble with that material? That just, in today's college basketball, now I see why they went to West Virginia and put it on them. I see it now.
Yeah, Yeah, that Mickey kid's unreal. And the thing is, the other post guy, the Martin kid, he didn't do anything today.
No.
And I'm proud of this team. I mean, you know what? We got our ass kicked. But the way they fought back in the second half, I mean, that's something to hang your hat on.
Tindall said just a second ago, Jake, that's the worst half of basketball I've ever coached in 10 years. What he said about that first half. He's owning it. And I don't think he needs to be. I don't think it was his coaching. I think it was just a beating. I think, to me, it's like the last couple years when an Alabama in football played the Vols when they're short stacked last several years. If Alabama plays their A game against you and you're Butch Jones and you roll your guys out there and you don't, like he said, and you play a C or B plus game, they're going to blitz you. That's what happened today. I don't think there's any shame in that.
Hey, guys, I got something that I think is a silver lining to the whole week. And I want to get your take on it, and then I'll clear out for these other people. I was listening to this. I was out driving yesterday, right around 7 o'clock. And the only time I listen to the snooze is...
Snooze.
I like to listen to snooze and notes before I click it over to Tubbsy.
Snooze and snotes.
And then if I'm out driving between 6 and 7, I'll click it over to snooze. Right about 7 minutes to go to 7 minutes till 7. They play, Jimmy Heim says, I'm going to play a clip from an interview I just did with Jimmy Cheek. I'll get your take on this, guys, because I think this was complete propaganda that was fed to Jimmy, said, here, we want you to interview Jimmy Cheek. Here's the questions we want you to ask him. I think they're lining up to back Tindall. How long has Pearl been gone?
This is 4 years.
Why would 4 years after Bruce Pearl's gone, would Jimmy Hines be having a one-on-one interview with Jimmy Cheek about Bruce Pearl? And the questions they spoon-fed him these questions to ask him.
Well, Jake, you got to be honest. That given the timeliness of Himes' information, he may just be getting around to interviewing
now,
Jimmy Cheek about Bruce Pearl being fired.
Keith.
Hey, Keith, listen to these questions. And I'm paraphrasing, but basically asking.
I'll bet.
And he led him to the answers. He says, you guys, the UT administration, when these allegations came down from the NCAA, you guys were 100% behind and we're going to back Bruce Pearl, weren't you? And Cheek said, oh, yeah. He said, but it was there were about three things that happened after those allegations came down. I mean, one was the bump rule. Another was the Brian Williams situation. And then about those bullshit tickets on that last game. And he said that was it, wasn't it? That made you lose trust in Bruce Pearl, wasn't it? And he's like, well, there was one other incident, too. And they didn't go into it. But they both...
Well, lying about Brian Williams' drug test.
Yeah. But basically what they were saying was, and I don't think they were ever going to keep Bruce Pearl, if it hadn't been for those three incidents, but they were lying and saying, oh, we were going to keep Bruce, we were behind him 100% and all this crap, and I think that they're trying to make it look like how bad Bruce Pearl was, so they can keep Tindall, which I'm all for. I just don't think they should be trying to smear Bruce Pearl to do it. I think they ought to just stand behind Coach Tindall. What do you guys think about that interview?
I think you're reading way too much. I think the point that Jimmy Cheek's making is, and I've had people tell me this behind the scenes, they've told Tindall, relax, man, relax. Let this thing play out. We're behind you. We're behind you. We're behind you. It's a tough thing to do when your neck's on the line, and I believe they've told him, relax, man, relax, man, relax. And so...
Tony, why would they be having an interview 4 years after Bruce Pearl left? I think I think they're using it for fuel to help the opinion when they do keep Tindall, which I definitely want them to keep Tindall. I'd rather have Tindall than Pearl at this point. But I'm just saying, it was just so obvious, and we know how the UT works. We know how the snooze machine works. But
I think
they're fed information from UT. We all know that.